Soon my worries fade as the excitement of the city takes over. Oxford Street is a fascinating place. All these grand buildings side by side. They stand so tall and proud, and at the bottom story, their awnings stretch out over the sidewalks like ladies coyly lifting their skirt hems to reveal temptation. Here is a stationer's shop, a furrier, a photographer's studio, and a theatre where several patrons have congregated at the box office to see about the day's programme.
Blast!
What? I ask.
I was to pick up a Kate for Grandmama, and we've just passed the shop.
Tom calls to the driver, who stops by the curb.
I won't be a minute,
Tom says, though I suspect he says this less to reassure me and more to convince the driver not to charge him an egregious amount for this unscheduled stop. For my part, I am happy to sit and watch the world in all its glory. A young boy weaves his way through the passers-by, a large goose resting precariously on his shoulder. Amidst a chorus of French horns and oboes, a happy throng of carolers makes its way to each establishment, hoping for a handful of nuts or a bit of drink. They walk on, their song drifting behind them. In the window of the shop where Tom has gone, there are all sorts of delicious confections on display. Plump currants and candied lemons, mountains of pears, apples and oranges, colourful piles of spices. It makes my mouth water. A tall woman in a smart hat and a tweed suit approaches. She seems familiar, but it is not until she passes that I recognise her. Miss Moore! I shout from the window, forgetting my manners entirely. Miss Moore stops, no doubt wondering who could be calling to her on the street in such a rude fashion. When she sees me, she comes over to the carriage.
Why, Miss Doyle, you're looking well. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Are you in London long?
She asks. Until after the New Year, I say.
What a happy coincidence. You must come to call.
I should like that very much, I say. She looks quite radiant. She hands me her card.
I have taken lodgings in Baker Street. I am at home all day tomorrow. Do say you'll come.
Oh, yes, of course. That would be grand. Oh, I stop.
What is it?
I'm afraid I have a previous engagement tomorrow with Miss Worthington and Miss Bradshaw.
I see.
She doesn't need to say anything else. We both know that we girls were responsible for her dismissal. We're all terribly sorry for what happened, Miss Moore.
What's done is done. We can only move forward.
Yes, you are right, of course.
Though given the chance, I should enjoy torturing Miss Worthington,
Miss Moore says with a gleam in her eye.
She has more cheek than should be reasonably tolerated.
She is quite saucy, I say, smiling. Oh, I have missed Miss Moore.
And Miss Cross, will you not be seeing my accuser over the holidays?
Miss Moore's smile falters when she sees my shocked expression.
Oh, dear, I've upset you. I am sorry. Despite my feelings toward Miss Cross, I know you are friends. That was rude of me.
No, it isn't that. It's... Pippa's dead. Miss Moore covers her mouth with her hand.
Dead? When?
2 months now.
Oh, Miss Doyle, forgive me,
Miss Moore says, placing her hands on mine.
I had no idea. I've been away these 2 months. I only just returned last week.
It was her epilepsy, I lie. You remember her difficulty. Something in me wants to tell Miss Moore the truth about that night, but not yet.
Yes, I remember, Miss Moore says. I am sorry. Here it is the season of forgiveness, and I've shown nothing but a hard heart. Please do invite Miss Bradshaw and Miss Worthington. They are welcome.
That is very generous of you, Miss Moore. I'm sure we should all like to hear of your travels, I say.
Then I shall tell you. Shall we say tomorrow at 3 o'clock? I shall prepare a very strong tea and Turkish delight.
Blast! There is the difficulty of getting my grandmother to allow me to pay a call without her. I should like that very much, if my grandmother will agree to it.
I understand,
she says, stepping away from the carriage. A beggar boy with one leg limps to her side.
Please, miss, halfpenny for the crippled,
he says, lip trembling.
Nonsense, she says. You've tucked your leg up inside your trousers there, haven't you? Don't lie to me.
No, mum,
he says. But now I can see the outline of the other leg clearly.
Run along with you before I call the constable.
Quick as a flash, the leg comes down and he's off running on two able feet. I laugh at this.
Oh, Miss Moore, I am happy to see you.
And are you, Miss Doyle? I am home most afternoons, from 3 until 5 o'clock. You have an open invitation to call any time.
She heads off, blending back into the throng of Oxford Street. Miss Moore was the one who first told us about the order, and I wonder what more she could tell us, if we dare ask her. She'd probably send us packing if we did, and rightfully so. Still, there must be something on which she can shed a bit of light, if we are very careful in our inquiries. And if not, at the very least, it is a way out of my grandmother's house. Miss Moore just may be my best hope for sanity this holiday. Tom's back from the shop. He drops the box, wrapped artfully in brown paper and string, into my lap.
One hideous fruitcake. Who was that woman?
Oh, I say, no one. A teacher. As the carriage jostles to life, I add, a friend.